Young Misty, is it you?
It is me.
Whoopee!
I promise.
Whoopee!
I'm here.
Whoopee! Misty, for the sake of full disclosure, Misty is a patient of mine, and because we're talking soy this weekend, Misty and I have some mutual experiences with this, and I thought it would be very, helpful to others out there to listen to the experience of not just myself, but to someone like Misty, who has really put an enormous effort and really changed her health dramatically. Misty, how did you come to nutrition response testing in the first place? I mean, how'd you get to be evaluated?
Well, I had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia,
mm-hmm.
and I just felt so bad all the time. I had no quality of life, and the doctors, they just want to put you on drugs.
Yes.
And so I was not willing to do that. So I was suffering. And I was driving along the road one morning, and I heard your radio program.
You just heard this silly guy talking about,
And the key word, fibromyalgia. Boy, did you have my attention. And then you had this little contest to win a free evaluation.
Right.
So I pulled off the side of the road immediately and got on and answered the questions and got the evaluation.
You know, it's funny. I forgot actually that you had played the quiz, because I was actually cutting the quiz out of the program. but yeah. So you pulled off. You heard fibromyalgia, something in my voice, or something in the message, or something like that. I mean, was there anything in particular that
well, you just said that you've had good results with treating it.
Right. And you were at that point. You were just...
Oh, I was ready for anything.
You were reaching out.
For something.
Yeah.
Somebody help me, please. Jeez.
And so, were there any other... I mean, besides the fibromyalgia, now that was a diagnosis that you were given, or you gave yourself.
No, the doctor gave it to me.
Aha. So you were labeled... with fibromyalgia. What kinds of symptoms in total that were you experiencing?
Well, I was having really bad stomach problems. I looked like half the time I was 6 months pregnant.
Because you were bloated.
Oh, I was so bloated, and my stomach hurt so bad, and I had heartburn. I've been scoped. And then I had the muscle pain, just the steady aching that nothing would relieve.
Yeah, and you even tried prescription medications. I mean, not prescription. Over the counter. You didn't even do that, huh?
I did over the counter stuff.
Yeah, like Excedrin or Motrin or something.
Yeah, and I did massage. I did acupuncture. Took supplements. Tried all of the things that they're out there that might help, and nothing helped.
So you were sort of stuck in that shotgun approach. I mean, just, help me, please, go, wherever might be useful.
Something that I wasn't aware of.
Right. Something you weren't aware of. But one thing you did was you persisted.
Oh, yeah. I'm not one to give up, that's for sure.
And that's the key right there. The key is persistence. I mean, absolutely, without a doubt. And that was very similar to my story, although my symptoms were, a bit different than yours. But as a practitioner with all kinds of training, I still couldn't figure it out.
mm-hmm.
So was the evaluation painful?
No, of course not.
Well, of course not. They don't.
It was totally non-invasive.
Yeah, non-invasive, so it wasn't painful.
Weird.
Weird. It was unusual.
Very.
Very unusual. And so you came, I put you on a program, actually I gave you the report of findings and you read it, and what was your, can you remember what your response was? Or sort of? It's kind of...
Well, I guess I thought I was in better shape than what I was.
Right.
I exercise, I have an active lifestyle, I've always eaten good.
And yet,
well below normal.
But you were experiencing all these symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
And this...
I was sick.
Right. And this awareness, this kind of lack of connection between, you know, having some symptoms, which as of yet hasn't, you know, laid you up, so to speak.
Well, and I had just had a complete physical by my doctor and had all the blood testing and everything that was all within normal ranges.
Clean bill of health.
Absolutely. I've always been healthy.
I'm only laughing because I'm laughing at myself. You know, I mean, I was truly, you know, you've known me a while now, and of course you had my story and whatnot, but I was truly out. I mean, okay. I was out. I knew that I was sick.
Yeah, you were dying.
But most people are in your, you know, category, in your camp, who are suffering from, you know, chronic aches or pains or you know, digestive disorders or, you know, emotional swings up and down or, you know, those types of things. And you come in and fill out the forms and say, oh, I'm in good health.
Right.
Because these tests are missing what's... So really, this was something we were talking about too, Misty, right? It was awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that one of the things about working together that has made a huge difference?
Oh, I am totally aware now.
And talk about that a little bit.
Well,
I mean, from the beginning, what was it like when you first went into a store, or you really became, you know, you really noticed, you know, what your foods, the foods that you were putting in your mouth on a regular basis?
Well, in the beginning, you know, you try to be quote unquote normal and find normal foods to eat.
Yeah, the same foods that got you into trouble in the first place.
Well, yeah, you know, and you start looking at the labels and you go, oh my God, you know, there's sugar in everything.
Soy in everything.
Oh, let's not even go there.
We have to go there because this is a soy show. This is, we got to go there.
Oh, so, yes. Mm-hmm.
So well, soy in everything.
Soy's in everything.
And, right.
And, you know, I always liked tofu and ate tofu and used, you know, soy-based products for perimenopausal symptoms and, you know, all of those things. And then through this whole process came to realize I am horribly allergic to soy. My body absolutely hates it.
Can't deal with it at all.
If I get into soy, I am so sick.
Yeah.
You know, all of those symptoms come right back. The stomach hurts really bad.
Right.
You know, get all bloated up, start aching, just feel horrible.
And the way we figured that out was with the nutrition response testing, the muscle testing evaluation, right?
Right.
I mean, that's how we figured it out. Up until that point, you know, with all of the hype out there, you know, soy is a woman's best friend. You know, soy lattes, soy protein bars, soy protein drinks, soy milk, soy sauce, soy everything.
Yeah.
Right? And here you were slowly but surely chiseling away at, you know, your insides and your health.
Well, the other really frustrating thing about soy is, you know, not even, it's one thing if you know it's there, but it's another thing that it is cross-contaminated.
Right, in the food supply.
Oh, you know, just buying tomato sauce. And I couldn't figure out how come I was getting sick. You know, I'd make a pot of stew and put some tomato sauce or stewed tomatoes in there, and it was making me sicker than a dog. And so I'd bring it in and say, why am I, you know, I can't figure out what it is that's making me sick.
Right.
Well, the tomato sauce was contaminated with soy. Somewhere in the processing, they processed soy also.
Exactly. It's not, and that's kind of even more confusing because many times it's not what's on the label, but what's not on the label.
Yeah, because I'm very, very careful about that. And to be, you know, having that accidental, you know, contact and contamination was very, very frustrating.
Right, right. It is. It is frustrating. But the cool thing is we have a way to figure it out. And then we get, you know, we're able to support, right? I mean, what was your experience like at the, I mean, was there, you know, did you feel like you were supported at the, you know, during the process?
Oh, yeah. You were there. You tested stuff and told me that this too would, you know, pass. And because I had, you know, I had some struggles. There was no question about it.
Right, right. Well, but we all, I mean, as it turns out, when you're, I mean, if you look at many, many products, you'll see on the labels oftentimes it says this product is, you know, prepared in a facility that also, you know, prepares
tree nuts, eggs,
soy,
right,
dairy, you know, those types of things. Well, it's real.
Well, and that's fine. You know, if it discloses that, then you just steer away from it. But when there is not that disclosure.
Right, it makes it more difficult. Well, and then the other problem, of course, and this is probably for a different show, but the other problem is that, you know, with the way the food industry is, and I'm sure that, you know, some of you, I hope all of you go see a movie called Food Inc., but you have to understand what's happened over the last 100 years, and that is the centralization of our food supply and food processing. So it's becoming more and more difficult to actually find origins of food that may not be cross-contaminated. So that does pose a problem, which is, of course, as you know, I always promote local. You know, if you can, if we can support, you know, our local farmers and local food producers, you know, that's always a great thing. But, you know, I mean, we do have four seasons here, and, you know, we're going to run into difficulty getting some of the foods we want in the winter, so we've got to find some good sources, and we've been able to do that, right?
Yes.
We've been able to do that.
Absolutely.
Hey, Misty, we got to take this quick sort of end of the half hour break. Can you hold?
Sure.
Great. So we'll be back with Misty and her challenges, particularly the soy challenge. This is Paul Rosen. You're listening to Health Matters on KPAM 860. Don't go away. Well, we're talking to Misty, and Misty, thank you so much for waiting. I appreciate it. Did you know, Misty, that you know, it's always touted that this is the myth that Asians consume large amounts of soy foods, and this is the truth. Average consumption of soy foods in Japan and China is 10 grams, about 2 teaspoons per day.
Yeah.
Asians consume soy foods in small amounts as a condiment, not as a replacement for animal foods.
Well, what I found really interesting was how much processing it takes.
Right, to do it right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And here's another one. This is really interesting. Oftentimes, soy foods are touted to provide a complete protein. But in fact, like all legumes, things like beans and lentils and so forth, soybeans are deficient in the sulfur-containing amino acids like methionine and cysteine. In addition, modern processing, you were just talking about that, denatures fragile lysine. Lysine, really important for the immune system. Oftentimes, lysine is touted as a containment for the herpes virus, like cold sores and so forth. But soy, there's so much disinformation about soy. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. It's the cure-all for everything.
If you listen to the hype.
Yep.
Doesn't really do much for the root cause of, you were talking about, perimenopausal symptoms.
No.
Or for finding out whether or not, you know, you've got sensitivities to them, which, by the way, most people do and don't know it. They don't know it, right? What was
I didn't know.
What was the biggest surprise or surprises when you started on your nutritional healing program and then kind of moved forward? What were the biggest surprises?
The foods that affected me, things that I could no longer eat.
Such as?
Sugar was number one.
Uh-oh.
But all kinds of sugars, you know, even honey and agave and those kinds of things.
Right, right.
You know, certainly I could understand processed sugars, but the natural sugars, it was...
And this is also an awareness thing, right? I mean, because what you learned was that the sugars you just named, the agave, even fruit concentrates, are really processed. They're really processed.
True.
And so because of that, and because of, you know, once the body begins to lose its health, it loses its ability to actually handle, you know, kind of dead and dying foods. And processed foods are those types of foods. So that was a surprise to you. What else? What else was surprising to you?
Well, having to eliminate grains.
Yeah.
You know, because I love bread.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I always eat good bread. You know, the more, you know, as my husband calls it, nuts and twigs, the better.
Very good. Nice work, Mike. Yeah, the nuts and twigs. And it's not because there's inherently anything wrong with grains. I mean, wheat has got to be one of the healthiest, grains on the planet. The problem is a person, you know, living in the United States has ever eaten any in the last, you know, probably 60 or 75 years, because it's all handled in a way. First, it's grown with chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, which, of course, the government and food industry has totally brainwashed people into thinking that it doesn't somehow affect the food. Do you believe that now?
Oh, I know it does.
Right. And so then it's stored with fumigants. I mean, can you imagine opening your refrigerator door, fumigating it for bugs, and then eating the food in there?
No.
Well, that's what's being done with the grains. Corn, wheat, soy.
I guess that makes sense to keep the
bugs out.
Yes, and the bugs out.
Right, you have to. Unless you use cold storage, which is pretty expensive.
Right.
And some people do. But the point is that, you know, you can imagine, right? You looked at the labels, you saw this stuff in everything, that most people really haven't eaten a food that hasn't been contaminated, you know, a grain that hasn't been contaminated. Does your body accept poison, you know, with open arms?
Oh, mine's been screaming at me.
Exactly. And so that's what's happening. That's why you're seeing so many food sensitivities out. There's nothing inherently wrong with corn. And properly prepared soy and grown soy, there's nothing wrong with that either in limited quantities. But we can't handle them. We can't deal with them.
That's been my experience.
And so what result, Misty? I mean, what are the results now that you've spent some time at this now? You've been with me for how long?
Over a year.
Over a year now.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't take you a year to begin to experience improvement to let you know that you were doing the right thing, did it?
Oh, no. I noticed changes within a couple of weeks.
And but it still took, I mean, you've been through some healing crises too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I also learned I can't use my wood stove anymore. That was really frustrating.
Wasn't that interesting?
Oh, my.
And so really burning pellets, or even burning wood for that matter, indoors, does actually result in things like formaldehyde?
Formaldehyde, yes.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with that one.
Yeah. And so, you know, again, is everybody sensitive to formaldehyde? Yes. Formaldehyde's a poison. But, you know, and so by the time people get sick, by the time they've whittled their health down, degenerated to the point, then their metabolic functions are compromised. The liver's compromised. The kidneys are compromised. These are your metabolic organs in general. So when you're exposed to minute amounts of these poisons, what happens?
Oh, you get sick.
Yeah. But who would know? How could you figure it out?
Well, you can't.
Unless. Yeah. Unless.
Well, unless you're tested, sure.
Right, unless you get tested.
Well, and, you know, the other thing is that there's so many things that you're exposed to and so many different, that you are eating, the chemicals you're exposed to. You don't know which way to turn.
Right, exactly.
So many things are impacting you.
Right, and remember we talked about, I mean, I remember, didn't you also have some issues, chemicals, with perfumes and fragrances?
Oh, I am so sensitive to fragrances.
And most people are, but don't know it because it affects what main gland on your body and most others?
My thyroid.
Your thyroid.
I am the thyroid queen.
You are, hon, and I'm the thyroid king. But the bottom line is that most people, and you've looked around, right? You've seen your colleagues.
Oh, yeah.
And you've referred a lot of them to get help. And,
yeah.
And any of them that elected to come and get evaluated, have they also found, you know, the solution? Yes.
Oh, absolutely. They came sometimes for different reasons, but once they started and realized that it was beyond, you know, some of them came for weight loss.
Right.
But it was beyond that.
Right.
They realize that now. It's way beyond losing weight. It's, you know, because they feel so much better.
Right. Right.
And it may not be just physically, it may be mentally.
And that was really important, right? That emotional quality. I mean, there's no reason for most people to even turn to psych drugs, right?
No.
I mean, now that we know.
Oh, sure. You know, because if when you feel really bad, that's going to affect your emotional health. And depression is a normal response to pain.
Gee,
do you think?
Yeah. I mean, if you've been suffering from a symptom for what? How long were you suffering from?
Probably about 5 years.
I mean, 5 years, you know, 5 weeks would be long enough to cause somebody to get despondent.
Well, yeah. And you know, I was to the point that, you know, when my boss said to me, what is your goal? And I said, well, I don't know if I'm going to be here.
Because she was noticing something.
you know, because I was just to the point where I was so sick that I just was dragging myself through the day.
And now you get to go out on your own terms.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can choose to work or, you know, I mean, I obviously there are financial concerns, but you can choose to work or not based on your health.
Right. It's no longer based on my health. It's based on other things.
Yeah, what's that worth?
Oh, hello.
And so you find out that you're sensitive to these things, your environment, right? This is the awareness issue.
Yeah, and that's a really hard one to control.
It is. It is. And yet, by knowing, it's kind of something you can manage using safe, natural, and effective methods, right?
True.
Well, I guess I'm getting the hint that we've got to take a quick break. Misty, if you would, I want to conclude with you when we come back. Would you mind?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We're talking with Misty, a patient of mine who's been a patient of mine for a while, and she's got so much good information to share with you. This is Paul Rosen. You're listening to Health Matters on KPAM 860. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back, so don't go away. And we're still talking with Misty because she's been so kind to sort of do the whole show with me. Thank you, Misty. hey, there's someone, a woman that emailed a question in, and I wanted you to, you know, I think you could answer this one as well as I could, you know, as a patient. It says, I am a 57-year-old postmenopausal woman in good health and active. However, I have noticed in the last few years that although I have not gained weight, I now have an accumulation of fat around my middle. You're not in that category, so don't go there. But she absolutely despises it. And I've also been cursed with, and this is where, you know, I think, you know, you could add some great input to, and then she's cursed with a sweet tooth, which unfortunately she still finds very difficult to deal with. She just can't seem to avoid sugar. She's considered hypnosis to make craving for sweets go away, if that's possible. Can you tell me what I should do to eliminate this unsightly and uncontrollable fat? Thanks, Marie.
I can.
Yeah. Well, all right.
And actually, I can relate to it because before I went on the program, I had been accumulating extra fat around my middle that I never had before.
Yeah.
And it's, what is this? And once I started on the program, and I didn't necessarily need to lose weight, but I did.
Right. That was a, oh gosh, it was a side effect.
It was.
Of being healthier.
Well, and the really interesting part was that, you know, I lost like 12 pounds. Okay, that was all fine and wonderful. But it didn't even stop there. It was the, you know, the scale showed, yes, that I had lost the poundage. But then I continued to lose inches for several months afterwards.
Right, and the weight kind of sort of stayed the same.
The weight was exactly the same.
Right, right. And it
cells were releasing all of these toxic crap.
Exactly.
And, you know, I could get my rings on again. I wasn't having the swelling.
Wow.
And all of that fat around my middle went away.
And so did all your symptoms, too, right? I mean, the result of all this is your symptoms have been gone for a while.
Well, yeah, the symptoms had gone earlier on, but, there continued to be changes for several months afterwards, and there's still this changes going on.
Isn't that interesting? And so, you know, when we talk about program, and what we're really talking about is an individualized nutritional healing program, right?
Correct.
That's what we're talking about. Well, and the way to get that done is you've got to get evaluated.
Well, and my husband's also started on the program, and he started like 6 months after I did.
Mr. Neverman, a donut he didn't like.
That's the one.
Sugar.
Talk about the sugar fiend. He was the sugar fiend.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I didn't know
what sugar
get it from me, how much sugar he was actually eating. You know, he'd have a donut in the morning. He always had candy on his desk.
Oh, my God.
And so for him to stop eating sugar
is unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, this is a cataclysmic experience.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But he doesn't have sugar cravings.
No.
And he also doesn't have nosebleeds anymore.
That's
unless
exactly
he gets into.
Right. He was having 3 nosebleeds a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have a coworker who was absolutely a sugar fiend, and that was one of the things that she was really concerned about. And she would say how it controlled her.
Right.
Absolutely controlled her.
And now?
None.
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 Zero, zip. Sugar cravings gone.
You know, I told her, I said, you know, once you're off of it, it's not a big deal. You won't notice it. And she was pretty skeptical, but now she realizes, she says, you were right. You know, once you get off that sugar and don't use it for a period of time.
And find out what your barriers to healing are and nutritional deficiencies.
And supplement the things that your body needs.
Right.
Then it's no longer an issue.
So quickly, what would you, I guess we're running out of time. Quickly, what would you recommend to people who really want to take control of their health? For real. No.
Well, first of all, you got to get evaluated.
Yeah.
Because everybody is different. What's good for me is not necessarily good for somebody else, and
right.
vice versa. So that's the beginning. But I think the most important thing of all is that you have to be ready to make changes.
Absolutely.
This is not a diet. This is not a short-term thing. This is a lifestyle change.
Yes.
You have to be mentally ready to do that.
And ready to be healthy.
Well, that's the payoff.
That's the payoff. Misty, thank you so much for spending the time this Sunday. I really, really appreciate it. I know we're going to help somebody.
Okay.
I know we are. Thanks, Misty. Say hi to Mike.
I will.
All right.